Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For a radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, join us online worldwide via our podcast. We're glad you all could join us as well. If you guys are joining us live, it is Pub Day for our next guest. We're excited to welcome best-selling author Joshua Corin to our broadcast today. He's celebrating his brand-new book called Assume Nothing. We're going to talk to Joshua not only about his love of storytelling, but what it's been like them to have a very diverse group of readers around the world, and also the idea that came to him that brought to life Assume Nothing. If you guys are not staying connected with Joshua, we'll let you know where to be able to find him, as well as how you can get your copy of the book. Joshua, thank you again for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cyrus. I really appreciate it as well.
Well, look, it's an honor to be able to speak with you, especially as the book is officially out for the world to read. These are characters I know you've lived with, Joshua, so I want to begin there. How does it feel to be able to have Assume Nothing available for the world to get?
I mean, so this is my seventh book, and so you would think I could get cynical. I could be like, oh, you know, after seven, it's old hat. But fortunately, you know, that's something to dread, I suppose, to have that kind of attitude. But I, it's exciting. I'm thrilled. It's like my first book. Every time I want people to really enjoy the book as much as I enjoyed writing it. So I'm you know it's a birthday. It's you know welcome to the world. Assume Nothing.
Right. You know, and I think that's the cool thing, Joshua, as you mentioned, you know, people have gotten to know you for other works, as I alluded to and as you just mentioned. But I think, you know, the thing is that, and I definitely noticed this when I was prepping for this segment, you have been able to both pick up new readers along the way, but also have new readers be able to be introduced to you. How does that feel to know that there are still people out there who are not only discovering you through books like Assume Nothing, but then will go back and read other books that you've been able to write?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I think it's great. I try not to write the same book twice. So it's always both wonderful and slightly terrifying when I know a reader really enjoys one of my books, and so they start to read another one of my books. I'm worried that, oh, you know, they liked this book, not necessarily because of anything I did, but because they like the genre or they like, you know, just that one take. So I get very insecure about, well, everything, but that in particular. So it's nice to hear that readers will follow me across several genres, you know, from different main characters and so on and so forth, different series.
Yeah. Love that. And I think the thing is about books like, especially Assume Nothing, it really has a little something for everyone, right? It allows us to be able to fit into that whole what-if scenario for ourselves as a reader, but we literally feel like we're a part of the story, especially because of the way the story is told. So I want to ask you, for Assume Nothing, what was the initial seed for you that kind of said, okay, this is a story I want to explore?
Well, the initial seed was when I was – I don't know, 10, 11-ish, maybe even younger than that, I started reading Agatha Christie, and I was the kind of reader where I read one of her books, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I need to read all of the books. And so I devoured all of her books one summer, and I hadn't really gone back to her. And now, you know, I'm a crime writer, and I was like, you know, I should, you know, go back and see if it's silly to say if her book holds up. I mean, she's the best-selling novelist of the 20th century. But you know, see what I, you know, encountering her books as an adult would be like. And I think I enjoyed her books more now. Like, I saw things, but I saw things from a writer's point of view as opposed to a reader's point of view, little things she was doing. I think I appreciated just her craft and slyness that she is capable of on every page. It really, really is awe-inspiring. And so I wanted to write kind of an homage to her as, you know, a craftswoman, but also just like the genre itself, the golden age of mystery. And so I wrote it, the novel, so nothing from the point of view of a teenager who is in love with this golden age and silver age of mystery, mystery writers, and a lot of the tropes of that time period. And it just seemed, you know, one thing led to another.
Yeah. And I love that. I love the way that, and to be quite honest with you, Joshua, in reading the book, you can, it's very easy to be able to rationalize, the way that Kat looks at the world and looks at the situation. And we can almost feel a bit of empathy there, too, because knowing how we can sometimes do some weird things, too, and have some weird thoughts as individuals, right? And, you know, and think about certain things. Do you think that's part of the connection that early readers are feeling with this book, the fact that, yeah, they can kind of see themselves wondering what they would do in a situation like that?
I do. You know, it's funny. The book is set in the 1990s because it's a YA novel. Another reason I wrote the book is I wanted to write a book that my nieces, nephews could read, and I wouldn't feel, like, guilty about them reading. And so, the body count is relatively low, but also it's a YA book. You know, in voice, it's first person from her point of view, and she's 16 years old. Kat's 16 years old. And the early reviewers have really resonated with her voice and her perspective, and also with the nostalgia of it taking place in the mid-90s. If I were to write another YA book, and I would love to, I would have difficulty. I mean, I'm a teacher. I'm a high school teacher as well as a writer. And as you know, even though I interact with young adults on a daily basis, I don't think I could put myself in their shoes, because their world is so vastly different. Their day-to-day experience is so vastly different from what I had in the 1990s. It just felt natural to put it in that setting.
Yeah. And I love, too, and the way that it is written, too, that you're able to, of course, as I mentioned, because it's in first person, Joshua, we're able to literally slip into the skin of Kat. Did that make it easier for you to better understand not only, of course, the way that she thought the way she did, but also why she thought the way she did?
Yeah. They say that necessity is the mother of invention. I like to be a little mean to myself when I'm writing a book, when I'm starting to write a book, and like create some artificial limitations. That's one way I can keep myself from repeating myself. But also, Thomas Edison's right, you know, but by having limitations, it forces you to think outside the box. And so I'd never written in person before. Certainly, I've had female protagonists, I am not a teenage girl. I've never been a teenage girl. And so, a lot of my alpha readers were either teenage girls or had at one point been teenage girls. And so I was very, very cognizant of the fact that I was kind of pulling off a theatrical trick, and hoping that I was capturing the truth of her as a person. Because if I wasn't able to capture her as a true person, then everything, you know, the plot and all the plot twists and all that doesn't matter. What matters is the truth of the character. And fortunately, at least from my, from my early reviewers, unanimously, they seem to be in favor of it, which is nice, which is gratifying.
Yeah, it is definitely, I think, a great book. And I think, too, it's interesting, and you alluded to the time that it's set in, Joshua. I think that is also what makes it so interesting, because there are people that would read that today, and especially with the way that the world looks at things, right, at how justice is meted out and what people can do to do what they feel like is their form of justice, right? I think that is a very, especially as we look at what's in the headlines right now, I mean, I think there is definitely this idea, and you could not have imagined that when you were writing the book, of course, and then definitely when the time of the book for it to come out. But it is an interesting conversation for us to have. Was Kat a character, because I know you've written so many other strong characters, was Kat a character that was easy for you? Because as you said, you're not Kat, of course, but was it easy for you to let her go at the end of Assume Nothing?
Was it easy for me to let her go? I still haven't let her go. I have such affection for her. Unfortunately, as writers, we need to kind of like put our protagonists through the ringer. And I felt so guilty about some of the trials and tribulations that I had to put Kat through, and writing in first person, I think it just increased that kind of empathy I had for her plight. So no, I still haven't let her go. I think I'll always have a place in my heart for her.
Now that's interesting hearing you call her the protagonist. Do you think that some people will see her as the opposite?
I think she might see herself as the opposite sometimes. I think she's very hard on herself, unrightfully so, and for reasons that are explained in the book. And so she definitely, I don't think, would see herself as the hero of her own story, at least for the first half of the novel, and which is one of the things that she needs to kind of like grow into herself and her own power.
I want to talk about, for those who may just be being introduced to you, Josh, I want to go back a bit and reset for our audience and say, for those who are just tuning in, welcome. You're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome bestselling author Joshua Corn to our broadcast today. He's celebrating his new book, Assume Nothing. It's out now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore. If they don't have it, then they'll be more than happy to order it for you. I mentioned earlier, and you mentioned too, of course, you've written other books. What was it about storytelling that initially spoke to you, Joshua?
Well, when you're a fairly shy kid, you want to be able to connect with the world in some way. For me, first it was books, and it wasn't that large of a leap to go from reading books to wanting to then, you know, where authors are communicating to me, and it, you know, I get to play in. My imagination gets to play in their sandbox, to kind of like wanting to create a sandbox of my own to play around, and then by extension have other people play around in my sandbox. I love the idea of, you know, storytelling is this way that we connect as humans, you know, despite our differences politically, despite our differences. And it seems like, you know, it's so easy to highlight the differences. We are so alike, and one of the strongest bonds we have is an affinity to storytelling, to stories, to this, to the patterns in them, to the characters in them, to just the shared experience of listening to a story, of telling a story. I think, you know, it's as primal as everything.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree with you. And I think the fact that you've been able to connect with readers, I want to go back to what I mentioned at the beginning, because I think it's an important point as we're wrapping up this year, Joshua, that you have been able to give that type of enjoyment to readers, but also, of course, a connection that you've been able to form. Social media is one of the ways you're able to connect. What has that been like for you to hear from the readers that have been able to enjoy your work?
Oh, you know, anytime I hear that someone who is not related to me or a close friend has read one of my books, it always throws me for a loop. I want to ask them, why? Why did you pick up my book? You know, what was it? Since you don't know who I am, what was it about the book? And so I'm always ecstatic to hear from people, even if they didn't like the book, you know. We still have, you know, a connection was still made. They were... You know, we all have limited amount of time, and they were able to give me some of their, or we were able to share some precious time together. And I think that's a blessing. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, it truly is. And I think it's such an interesting thing that readers are able to get, especially, and I always feel like, Joshua, because of the work that I do here, as someone who's been a lifelong reader, to be able to have a job where I get to talk to authors like you, it's, you know, I was one of those nerdy kids that would read a book and then write the letters to the authors, hoping they'd get them, never thinking I'd hear back from them. And now to have a gift like this, to be able to talk to authors like yourself. So without spoiling anything, I do want to ask you this question, because we are, of course, wrapping up this year. You have the new book that's out. What are you looking forward to as you head into 2025?
Well, I always begin with hope. I think that hope is essential. So I am bringing that into this year as much as I can. for myself, for my loved ones. Just hope that this year brings, you know, nothing but happiness. Obviously, there will be obstacles. There always are, but you know, I'm a huge proponent of community, and that, you know, whether it be the storytelling community or family, and so the fact that, you know, if there are any struggles, going through those struggles together and coming out stronger because of it, I think is ideal.
Right. Well, I'm excited to have this conversation with you, Joshua. So glad that the audience can now enjoy the book. Again, Assume Nothing is out now, so definitely make sure you guys get your copy. Joshua, how can our audience stay connected with you?
Oh, well, they can check out my website, joshuacorn.com. Also, I'm available on all the basic socials, Facebook, Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram. I'm sure I'm forgetting half of them. They keep multiplying, but you know, I'm available, and I'd love to hear from them. I'd love to have a conversation.
Sounds great. Joshua, congratulations again, and looking forward to our next chat together.
Thank you, Cyrus. Great talking
with
you.
More than welcome. Hey, thank you, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.